Well, I appreciate your prayers. I want us to think tonight about the character of God. If God didn't show himself to us, we would have no way of ever knowing. God's so far above us. Scripture says that his ways are above our ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts, as far as high as the heavens above the earth. His thoughts are above our thoughts. But I like thinking about those kind of things. The scripture says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I think that God's creation speaks a lot about who God is. And it just will, your mind can run out thinking about what God did. I don't know if you've ever really tried to even put it into perspective of what God's done. I don't know how to verify the things that said about the workings of this universe. I've not done it personally, but those that have done it have said things like the distance across the galaxies and the far expanses of the universe, those kind of things. And then they make statements like it's so many thousands, hundred thousands, or millions of light years away. You know what a light year is? I think light travels at like 186,000 miles a second. And it's the distance that light would travel in a year at that speed. Well, you can go ahead and do the math, but it's quite a number. And then they talk about timesing that by hundreds and thousands and millions of times, and you haven't reached the outer edges of the creation of God. That just is just about more than, I wonder why God did it that way. Well, I think mankind has been looking into the heavens ever since there's been a man. Yes. Has looked into the heavens and seen the grandeur of it and wondered what it was all about. Do you know, people of the ancient world wasn't just old men with clubs running around that's been depicted. There was people that had deep thoughts about things like that. You can see it in reflections of the ancient scriptures. There was things in there. They knew something about things in that. And I've looked into that, and I think about the creation of God and how much I don't know. And, you know, I like to garden a full in soil, and I know you can test the soil and you can do all that. But when you really get down into the soil, there's all kinds of microbes. You don't see the microbes, but there's microbes there. And there's bacteria in there, and there is funguses in there, and there is a multitude of life circulating in that, that if you was to look at it, you'd see all these little creatures of different kinds, and there's different kinds of worms and all of that, and you could take a square foot of Oklahoma soil out and start looking into it, and it'd probably run your mind out to try to find out all that was in there. And if you wanted to start getting deeper and deeper in it, you know, they say everything's made up of its molecules, and then you get into the atoms with the makeup of the neutrons and electrons and protons. And recently in some kind of a scientific thing, they said that they thought there was something that made those protons up. And I said, oh, I ain't a bit surprised that there's something that makes them up. And it's probably, if you could go on, there's something that makes up the something that makes up the something and then makes something. And it might be as far, it might be as many light years away from us down as it is up. And it's an endless line. And if one square foot of that gets beyond my mind, you think about the whole section of Prague here and what is in it that we can never explore and we never can understand it. Of our feeble understandings, we can't. And great, we think we're in a great time of understanding, but we can't understand even the soil that our feet stepping on. We don't really know much about the things of God, but God extended it all. The great God of heaven, when in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And he didn't do it haphazardly. The detail is too astonishing for what he's done. And it all works together into a, an ecosystem. It all works together in an ecosystem that works together with things. And I think about, if I can get lost in the idea of this, there's much more vegetation around where I live than there is here, it seems like. And when I get up there in the mountains of West Virginia, and I can go, I can turn over a rock there in the creek, and there's a salamander species, and there's this species, and there's crawdads, and then you go a little farther, there's a fish of all kinds, and then you just see all kinds of creatures and birds, and you see all those plant lives and different things, and then there's mushrooms and all of these things. And I'm not here wasting your time. I just want you to get a picture of something. There is something in so much that if I wanted to expand my mind to try, there's all kind of there. It goes in every direction beyond me, so far beyond me. It just keeps going beyond me and beyond me. And it's a little section of life that I've lived on. Of what God done, it isn't even a drop in a bucket. It's just, it is the same as almost nothing. I take up such a little space. We're in a, how big is this tent? Is it what? 80 feet back through there? What's the size of this tent? Don't take up much. Got a few people in here. Don't take up much. We're not very much compared to the whole place around us. But this is our world right now. This is what it's all about right now. But just think how much more there is in right here in this county. This is a small dot for the county. But what's this county in the state of Oklahoma? What's Oklahoma in the whole U.S.? U.S. don't take up the whole globe. It's a dot on the globe. Do you know the Earth don't take up much space in its solar system? One solar system. It don't take up that much space. The solar system is a small dot that you couldn't even see if you compare it to the Milky Way galaxy. You couldn't even see it. The Milky Way galaxy is one of hundreds of thousands of galaxies. That's in a universe that spans over light years beyond that we can even calculate. Most of us could. Our calculators don't even go out with that many numbers with those kind of things. And I'm here to tell you that God did not exhaust himself in 6 days creating. It speaks of a God, a mighty God, a God that's capable of anything and everything, and to be able to have created it. I'm not going to get off in the weeds. I don't know how he did it. I don't know. I take what the Bible says as the way it absolutely is. It's just that I don't understand the way he even wrote it in the Bible, hardly. That he left it a mystery, a lot of it. There's things that I don't know about it all, but God did it. Our late Senator Robert Byrd, for whatever you would have thought about him, he went to dedicate the big telescope there in Green Bank Observatory, and when he did, he let everybody know that was there, all the scientists and everybody's there. He said, I just want you to know that whatever you're looking for and whatever you find, God made it. Well, for all that he was, I'm glad that he spoke that truth to them. And he was the one that gave them the money, so they wouldn't dare say anything back about it. Even though they would have liked to him, they weren't going to say nothing to the guy that had the money. And he gave them the money, and they built the thing, and he was dedicated it. And he said, whatever you hear, whatever you're looking for, and whatever you find. God made it. It was a part of God's creation. So I want to expand our minds a little bit to think about a God that can do that. Can deal with the smallest of things in its intricacy and details, down to atoms and electrons spinning around neutrons, and all of that, and yet is the God of greatness. Yes. And then, with all of that, he makes man. Not only did he make man, but of all of the. Do you know that they say that our sun is a small star, I think, medium grade? It's one that is a part of a number that cannot be numbered.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And with all of that, and with all of the moons that go around the planets, and the planets that are around, each star is a solar system. We don't even know what's around them. And it goes on almost indefinitely. And it's good enough indefinitely for me because it's way beyond me. But then with all of that, he crowned it with mankind. And he says of it all, it was good. God was pleased with what he had done. And of everything that he done, not one thing has ever had the right or ability to say anything about it. It does exactly what it was made to do. God made it, and it does exactly what it does, and he made the crowning idea of all of it was man, and he said of man. He didn't just say that it was good. He said it was very good. Very good. This was the crowning moment to God. God created something. And I realize that in the so-called Christian world, there can be a debate about the idea of man made with a will. Yes. But there's no controversy here tonight with it, and especially from here. There is no controversy about this. There isn't a struggle in my mind between the will of man and the sovereignty of God. Because I think God is a sovereign enough God that stretched the millions of light years of creation out. There's no doubt to me that God is sovereign enough to make a being with a will if he wants to. So I don't have, there's no conflict with me with the fact that God wanted us to have a will. He made us to be able to make a choice. And I believe this, that God knows the value, the real value of things. God can go on creating all kinds of things. That's not crowning to him. Crowning to him is he wanted to have some. He wanted the circle of love to be completed. It's we don't go and try to. I guess some have maybe go try to grab a girl and make her be his. You wouldn't have much if you did. You might keep her if you're strong enough to keep her. Yeah. But you don't have the most important part. No. You don't have the love, the affection. You don't have the emotion. You don't have what's really there to give. God wants, I believe God always made a being, and he wanted them to adore him. Yes. He wanted them to turn around and look at the God that created them and say, thank you for creating me. Thank you for giving me life. When he didn't make us to say it, he don't force us to say it. He don't make us love him. He makes us and says, you have the, I by creation give you the right to use my things any way you want to. I will give you my air to breathe. I will give you life to live. I'll let you use the substance of my world. Then you can abuse it. You can do anything you want to it. You can use my things to hurt the rest of my creation with, if you choose to. I'm going to grant you something that I granted no other part of my creation. I'm going to grant you the great gift of choice. I'm going to let you choose. I'm going to let you choose to be able to what you're going to do. And when he made man, he made him in his image. Yes. He gave him the ultimate kickstart. Yes. He made them without the nature. Yes. And said, here, and he put them, I believe, into a, and again, I'm not trying to confuse you. I'm just laying it out to my understanding about things. I don't understand it all. I don't know what the Garden of Eden was altogether. Because there's elements that my mind has to say, I don't know. Was it the perfect place and a perfect place? I mean, could, you know, as I'm getting old, I'm getting clumsier and do things all the time. It's like today I turn around with the drink in my hand and I don't know, I'm getting old, I just ain't coordinated or something. I went to do something with my hands and I knocked my cup out of my hands myself. I mean, I knocked it into the floor. I mean, can Adam in the Garden of Eden do stuff like that? I'm assuming he did. Could he stub his toe? And if he did, would it hurt? I mean, I don't know, because the scripture says that that God came down in the cool of the evening. Yes. Well, I'm sorry, my mind can't take in the cool of the evening without the hot of the day. I don't know. If there was a cool of the evening and there was no hot of the day, then there's no cool of the evening. I don't get it. It can't be perfect. There has to be a hot of the day because there's a cool of the evening. That's not what he was trying to prove. He was kind of set a setting of, that's a very pleasant thing. That's what he was trying to say. The pleasant time that he came down. You know, it sounds like that'd be encouraging for God. What form did he come in? I'm not trying to confuse him about being ignorant. I'm just saying, I don't know. He didn't say what form he come in. He came to visit him. But he's a big God. I don't know how exactly he did that, but he did. And he visited them in the cool of the evening. And somehow they communed together. They had relationship together. And to me, it seems like what he was wanting them to choose, but he was really giving them a good thing to choose for. Yes. He was visiting him, and he's God, and what that must mean. And they had, of all the trees of the garden, thou might freely eat. And come on, it was a garden. And if that wasn't enough, Adam, I mean, this is the prettiest girl on the planet. I mean, you ain't good. I mean, got a wife? I mean, God, this is a good situation here that he's in. So it seemed like that the Lord was made a situation. He's making the best he is, but his mind was always, you still got a right to choose. And they did. And we know the story. I don't know how long that took, because the Bible didn't give us the privilege of knowing. I don't think there's much in there. There are some that say that it had to be within a certain time, but it's the idea was is that they was, Eve got beguiled. Yes. And she had things, and she's there with the right to choose. Right there in the center, in the midst of the garden, was two trees. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I don't think you could ever get to the tree of life without being in the center, without that other tree being there somewhere. That is, to me, always the idea that looms always before us, always.
Yes, that's right.
You can choose wrong if you want to.
Yes.
But there is, through Christ, a tree of life. There is a way of life. But where their default was to purity, after the fall, they plunged mankind into sin.
Yes.
And the default became sinful.
Yes.
Everybody's sin. We all have come short of the glory of God. I think David said something about being born in iniquity, conceived in sin. He was. It's the nature and makeup of man to be in this place. But this is still God's crowning. Do you think God cares more about the far workings of the universe? Or do they care more about you? That don't disobey him. That's done, and it does all of creation, all of the animals, everything does what it's supposed to do. The only thing that doesn't do exactly what the Lord said was the ones that he gave the choice to and said, I'm going to give you the choice. You can do with this what you want to do to a limit. You're not going to be God. You can't do God things. But everything that's within the realms of humanity in your lifetime, you're going to have the ability to choose to do it. You can hate your brother if you want to. Cain.
Yes. Yes.
Cain, you can make bad sacrifices if you want to.
Right.
You, Abel, you can make good sacrifices if you want to. You can seek the Lord if you want to. You can have and know God if you want to. You can turn God down if you want to. He's a gentleman. He'll let you turn him down. But he won't come and make you do it. And so now I feel it's important to know that this God, of the great creator of everything, the God that did everything, is still looking for you.
Yes.
That great God is still calling, because he has chosen. It's not that his sovereignty doesn't reach there. It's that he has made it this way. This is what he has said for us. This is what he created us to do. He's not going to go around that. He's not going to force you to be saved.
Amen.
There is no forcing to be saved. Salvation is a willful desire of the heart. It's I want what God has got. And so He brings meetings like this. He sets the tone. He sends the Spirit. This is the way He has chosen. This is the old story. We understand this part of it before we can go on. I've heard a lot of so-called religious people talk about the plan of salvation and all, and they miss the whole point of why we needed it to start with. This is the point. You have to know this. We are sinners. We have been born in sin. We got to this place, and from the very beginning, the Scripture said, from the very beginning, there was a lamb slain from the foundation. Yes. In God's great heart, He had a plan for the fall of mankind. There was a way that He was going to make it possible that we still had a choice to Him. If this had never come, folks, we'd have no choice.
That's right.
But the fact that God still worked with us and done this, we still are what He created us to be. We still have the ability tonight to choose to either live for God and spend eternity with Him, or live selfishly to ourselves and spend an eternity away from God. We still have the choice to do it. And God deals with our hearts. And He talks with us and He helps us. But He will not cross your will. He won't cross the part that He created in there. It stays with us still. He'll only woo. He'll invite. He'll draw.
Yes.
These are all shown. When I say this about the doctrines of that's out there about the free will of man, I'll say this, that it can only be arrived at by the most deep thinking people, because the Scripture, if you read it, doesn't think that way. It doesn't speak that way. He invited people to come to His supper. They didn't have to go. Paul says that He put under His body lest He become a reprobate, a castaway. That there is Scripture after Scripture. The whole tenor of the Scripture, and we know it from observation and personal life, is that we have a choice about what we do in life. And we have consequences to that choice. And God is giving us that choice still tonight. And He deals and has always dealt and is still dealing tonight. And He's calling as the Master and Creator of the whole universe.
Yes.
The one that knows the exact number distance across the universe. He measures it.
Yes.
And that one that knows every atom of everything He ever created of His creation, knows the very depths of your heart tonight. He knows the needs that you have in your life, and He deals with it that way. There is a Scripture I want to look at in Luke. Chapter of Luke. It says in the 34th verse of the 13th chapter of Luke, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee." Wouldn't that be enough for most of us? Isn't that enough of a statement to say, I'm done with you? That wasn't the heart of God.
Amen.
That wasn't the heart of God at all. The great Creator of the whole universe is speaking, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stone them that come." All of these things that you've done. You know, I've been amazed at the Lord through the Scriptures, because it speaks out to me. There was a king, for instance. His name was Ahab. What a lousy king. I mean, honestly, read about Ahab. Jezebel. You remember Jezebel? Jezebel goes down in history as... Well, she represents something.
Yes.
Jezebel does. A Jezebel, you'd say. She represents something in the Scriptures. Ahab and Jezebel. What a crew. And in there, you would think, I would have thought, and there'll come a time, if you remember the Scripture, where they were going to go up to battle. They were going to go to battle, and he's Israel and Judah's teaming up. I believe that situation is going to go. And I think Ahab just had his heart set on Ramoth of Gilead. He had to have it. They were going to go take this place. And so he gets to the king and he said, okay, let's go. And the king says, no, wait a minute. I think we ought to ask God. I think we ought to call the prophets in. Well, okay, we'll call the prophets. Well, Ahab and Jezebel had everybody quaking in their boots, and you didn't dare say anything and do anything. And so they called in their political team, and they come in, and whatever you want, tell it your way. And, you know, they went through the demonstrations and said, oh, God's got it wide open for you go. And that king is there like, and I know exactly what he's talking about. I mean, I know how he felt. Now, that's just too pat. I mean, that all of you guys? Said, is there anybody else? And oh, Ahab is like, I know I'm paraphrasing this, but oh, Ahab is like, in my mind, he's like, ugh, yeah, there's a guy. But he always prophesies evil against me. Get him. No, I want to hear what he says. They go and get him. Well, you know, remember the game he played with them? Oh, God, no, you tell what the Lord told you. Don't you judge. And he said, you go up there and you'll be a shepherd, or the sheep will not have a shepherd. So you go up there and they're going to come back without a shepherd. I did not tell you. Throw him in the dungeon. Don't feed him the water of adversity and bread of affliction until I get back and I'll deal with him. Throw him in the dungeon. And the prophet said, if you come back at all, the Lord didn't speak to me. One man. But you know what's amazing? I'm absolutely amazed at this, because Ahab was a terrible king.
Yes, he was.
What amazes me is that the Lord told that prophet to tell him the truth.
Amen.
God loved him even at that point.
Yes.
The only way God was going to do that is because God loves you and wants to tell. God told him the truth. Oh, there may be some judgment at the end of that, maybe for that, but God was willing to tell. After all, he wasn't, you know, he could have chose to listen to the Lord. Even that far gone, he could have still listened to the Lord. He gave it to him. And I find that in the scriptures where the Lord was willing over and over and over to deal and tell people what this truth. Do you know that deal that Stephen did? He done that against people that had gritting their teeth and mad and all of that.
Yeah.
And it said the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't have God not want to deal with them, but just not told them nothing? Die in your sins. Be lost and see what it is. No, he gave Stephen a message.
Yes, he did.
Do you know it ended up meaning something to somebody that held a coat?
Oh,
it took a little while working, but do you think he ever forgot that time? I think it was one of the things that worked on him. Oh, you've been kicking against the pricks, Paul. That man, you can't get that man out of your mind, can you? You can't get that vision of the man that was stoned to death and said, don't lay it to their charge, Paul. Something working in your heart. Something's going on in here. God, even at this place in Ahab's life, was willing to work with them. Oh, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and kill them that come to you. I'm talking to you. I'm still talking to you. Oh, Paul, who was Saul, persecuted the church and even persecuted women and children Christians.
Yes.
He was a mean. He said of his own testimony that he did it ignorantly, thinking that he was doing the will of God. You know, in his heart, he wanted to serve the Lord, and he thought that was the way to do it. The Lord, he was so twisted and messed up by sin, just like you and me, so messed up about what life is and what it's all about, that it took the Lord dealing with him and working with him. He knew what he had in his hands. He knows what he has in his hands with you too.
Yes.
He knows what he can do with you.
Yes.
We're not afraid to put you in the hands of the Lord, because the Lord can change you and make you what you're supposed to be. And he wants to bring to you the knowledge and understanding that it's your choice. He's not going to make you do it, but ahead of you, there is all these things, good things of God.
Yes.
They're right there. All you got to do is choose them. Yep. The peace is just as much for you as it was for anybody. The leadership of the Holy Ghost is there just as much for you as it was for Paul. The answering of prayers, who can't get their prayer? Do you have to be smart to get your prayers answered? Do you have to be able to form words in a sentence in a proper grammar way to be able to get grammatic way, I should have said, see, one went right there. So can you get, does it take that? It takes not even words sometimes. It takes a longing in your heart, a reaching to God, a seeking, a wanting of God. God can answer, and he's got that for everyone. I want to tell you tonight, God has answered prayer for us so many times. Over and over, the Lord has healed us, answered prayer for our children, answered prayer and concerning things around. Over and over, he's changed circumstances and changed things at our prayer. It's not us. It's God. It's not God that made this change. God said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the God that changeth not. The same God that loved in the beginning loves everybody still. He made a way for us to be saved. Oh, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stone them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood now under her wing. Think of this. If you've ever seen this, I used to love this when I was at my grandmother's house. They would have these hens, and they would set, and they would set, and these little chicks. We had it a couple years ago. We had this hen that set, and it had these little chicks. And we went out one day, and I didn't know what day they were supposed to hatch, but went out, and she's sitting there all fucked up. You know, she'd been just now. There's a little head pops out from under her wing. This little head pops out just now. There's another like over her back, picked out all the feathers. They was all in under her wings and feathers, and these little heads start sticking up like that. And I want to tell you, you got close to there, she'd let you know you ain't coming here. She was vicious about that. How often would I gather you together for protection, yeah, for help, for, yeah, defense? How often did the heart of God, he was saying to me, you killed the prophets, and you stoned them to come to you. But how often I would have changed that for you. Yes. It wasn't me. It wasn't me that did it. I didn't turn away. God didn't turn away from you. You turned away from God. How often would we have gathered you together? And here it is, folks, and want to resonate with us. But ye would not. You wouldn't do it. I would gather, but you wouldn't be gathered. I was always ready to gather. I'm still ready to gather. But you won't be gathered. It's still your choice. It is always going to be your choice. You don't have to be gathered. You don't have to be brought into the fold of God. But it doesn't mean God's not there to gather. He's trying to gather. He's wooing and talking and wanting you in. This is the God, the great God of the universe. I want to ask you this. If God made all of this, then we'll perish one day. And it's a tangible thing. The scripture said that which is handleable or tangible or that which is something you can see and handle is temporary. Is the things that you can't see. It's eternal. If he did all of this spectacular work for a natural world, what did he do for the spiritual world? Could we dare to think how far it could be? How distant must we be able to soar? How high can we soar? How deep can you love when we're so bound here? How far can we go? What can we do? I think we could hardly know. I think trying to explain heaven to mortal man is like trying to tell a man that never seen what the color blue is. I just don't think you can hardly relate. You do things that make us feel like streets of gold, for instance. I don't care about streets of gold. It's trying to say the splendor of it. It's trying to get something into our mind. Things, the value, and it's trying to speak to us. Walls of these precious stones and all. I don't even care about precious stones. I'd rather go deer hunting. But it doesn't matter. That's not what he's trying to say. He's trying to get us to understand in a spiritual sense the great splendor of it, the greatness of it. He never described anything on earth like this was. So what's it talking about? Of course it can be the church of God. I realize all of those things because the church in a sense is the small earnest of what we're going for. We live to the earnest. But do you know we have a choice of what we want? We can choose selfishness in life. Cain chose a path. He didn't have to. No. He had this. He lived in the same place, had the same opportunity that Abel did. Yes. He made the choices that made him do what he done. Yes. And he got the results of his choices.
Yes, right.
And that's what all of us has got to face. Yes. The result of our choices. But you wouldn't. I tried to draw, but you wouldn't. God has been so merciful. I'm not sure I would have put up with Jonah. Jonah, you told Jonah to do it. I'm glad he did.
Yes.
Told old Jonah he was going to do something, and he takes off running. He was another one of those that thought he could get away from God. You go far enough or fast enough, you won't find God. I'll tell you what I found. I used to go deep in the coal mines. You can't get away from God in the coal mines, I'll tell you that. But I'll tell you, most of the time, I was sure glad God, it wasn't getting away from him for me. When I was down in the coal mines, I was down there saying, thank God that he can be in the coal mines. This is dangerous down here. I need some help down here in this place. I need some courage sometimes. Get down there in the middle of the winter, and they had to get the air. It normally would be 50 degrees in there, but they had to pull the outside air in. It's 10 below, pulling that outside air in there, blowing by you. 120 CFM at the face. That wind was humming through there. You get wet and coming out there 10 below zero with that kind of wind chill. Freezing, miserable. I'd get in there and 36 inches of coal height and 18 inches of that was water. And I had to be slugging through that old coal mine, 50 degree water slugging through there. Oh, there's plenty of times I can't sing a lick and I'd be singing, oh, wait on out in the water. Just, I had to get courage somewhere. You know, the Lord's able to help us in every situation. God's able to go there. You got to choose it, though. You got to choose it to have it. It's a choice. But he says, but you would not. Jonah, you know the story of Jonah? God wanted to do something, and he ends up running, and you know the whole thing with the ship, and they ended up. Well, they found out it was him, threw him off, and the whole thing with the fish and all that. And finally, he has a way of repenting, so finally he goes down there and do what the Lord wanted him to do.
Yes.
Well, thank the Lord. He did. God had mercy on him, gave him another chance. He didn't have to send that fish by. Well, he didn't have to let him spin him back out. But he did, and he gave him the chance, and Jonah goes down and preaches the word of God. You know, he got upset about that. They repented. They repented. And he was upset that he went through all the trouble and didn't get to see the fireworks. They're going to go down. Went down there and they repented. And he was sitting over there. Jonah, God just spared you and had mercy on you. He should have left you in the fish. You know, you got a choice. We have a choice. All of this is a choice that we have to live for God. He made it that way. The great God of the universe and all that he did that does exactly what great works, hurricanes that hit, is the finger of God. All of these things that do on a haphazard, these things that are huge and the whole universe that he's done and it's magnificent. And we tell him no. Think about it. I can say no to God and he will honor it. Lord help us. Joshua 24th chapter. Oh, let's see. 14th verse. It says, now, therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. Oh, I tell you. To think about the God that created and done all that he done. And then for us to make our own gods to be important. That created nothing. Has power over nothing. That can't help us. Can't deliver us. Can't save our eternal soul. Can do nothing to us. And we pay great homages to the things that we create in life. The things that we try to make for happiness and all those kind of things, and we bow our never dying souls to the entertainments of this world. We bow it to the musics and to Hollywood, and we bow it to the ways and as you say, the aura of the world or the cosmos and the arrangement of things, and we bow ourselves to the way things are and the great God that created everything. We give no homage, but. The Joshua here on this looks at all of this and says, forsake the gods of your fathers on the other side. Don't follow the gods. Don't take them on. All of those old gods. You know, it has always been, you look at the history of the children of Israel, went down there to Egypt, and you know that down there for all that time, 400 years, I believe it was, and in that time, it wasn't odd that when Moses come along to get them out of there, that God just didn't take them out. He had so much work to do to get them to choose. It goes back to the beginning. God wanted them to serve him because they wanted to serve him, and because they found value in him, and because he was God, the creator, and because he wanted them to love him and serve him for who he was and what he was. And he had to break the chains of these other gods. They'd been down there for 400 years.
Yes.
And along comes Moses, and all of a sudden, all those plagues that they had and all of that was all designed to tear down the power of these gods.
Yes.
The God of the Nile. The God of insects. The God of plants. The God of the sky. He one after another, tore their gods down. Come with a rod. With a rod that Aaron threw down. He every one of them, they called on their gods, but they couldn't get the water out of the blood out of the water. They called on their gods, and the frogs kept coming. They called on the gods, and the flies still descended. They called on the gods, and they sat there dumb. And nothing to say, nothing to do. And God did it for a reason, because he knew they was going from one set of gods to another set of gods. He wanted to smash their dependency on God and say, I am the living God. I'm the God of your fathers. I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I am the God that led them. And I'm the God that leads you. If you'll be my people, I'll be your God. But you can't go worshiping these other gods. I want your heart.
Right.
I want your heart as a people. Give me your heart. You know that's what God's always wanted. He didn't want the fanfare and all the big stuff. He wanted their heart. He told them, is it this sacrifice? You want this for sacrifice and do this? What's sacrificing? I want more than that.
Amen.
I got enough. He said to Job, if I was hungry, would I ask you for some food? No, Job. I want something else from you. I want your heart.
Yes.
I want you to recognize me for what I am. The God of creation. I am your God. I am one that created you. You're here tonight in 2022. You're not 500 years. God chose you for now.
Amen.
This is your time. This is your place. Young people, what's ahead of you is your choice to serve God. But I say God has already tailor-made a path for you with your gifts, your callings, your blessings. They're all there. As sure as he hung the stars, he hung your plan.
Yep.
Of your life. But you don't have to do it. The stars can't keep from twinkling. But you can keep from shining. So here in this passage, he says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which our fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That statement has echoed the ages. That what he said has been a verse of memory ever since he said it. As for me and my house, a man will say, they'll get to that termination and all this other stuff crowding in, and there'll be this wrestle and this debate in their own hearts and minds, and they'll come up to the place, and then they'll say by the determination, by God's grace, as for me and my house, I know what the world offers. I see what it's going to do. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That doesn't mean there are going to be hard times. That means there's going to be persecution. Matter of fact, a lot of times that's when this determination is made. When you're looking down a rifle barrel or you're looking down a persecution, you're looking about this, and the devil's pushing on you and all that, and you grit your teeth and you say, no, God's been too good to me. He's the God that got Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fire. He's the God that kept Daniel from being eaten by the lions. He's the God that delivered Gideon. And he's the God that I'm going to serve in this situation. As for me and my house, come what may. That's my determination. That's my choice. To the God that hung the universe. To the God that made this great world. The God that gives me life. And it'll be God that takes me out. It won't be you. God would have to let you come and do it anyway. I wonder how many evil purposes God had saved without us ever knowing it. He just told somebody that had an evil intention. You're not going to do that to my child. I'll just give you a flat tire on your way. You ain't going to do that to my people. I'll cause a bug to bite you or a beast to sting you. You're not going to do it. God will do and take care of us in the course of our life. God can intervene when he wants to, but God can also allow us to make the choices that will harm us the most. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You know all of the debates, that most of the debates that go on about the standards that we live and those kind of things? I'll be honest with you, I'm never much moved by them. I really ain't. You know why? Because the bottom line of it is that what I do because I love the Lord. And there is no debate about it. You can say, well, you can have this or you can do this. Well, if you think you can do it. But that's not what I do. I don't do it because somebody said not to. I do it because it pleases God. I feel like it pleases the Lord. Lynn and I was talking today, and we was talking about doing duties and doing different things, and I made a comment to her that the victory in what we do is if we do it for the Lord. You start doing something you got to do, and you start grumbling about it, you better think about why you're doing it. Because I'm going to tell you, when you start saying, I'm doing this for the Lord, well, you'll go skipping and jumping. Man. You can say, thank the Lord. I'm glad I get the chance. Jesus died on the cross for me. I've told this many times, but it's my story and I like to tell it. One time it was the middle of the winter and somebody had to put wood in the outside wood stove and the snow was this deep over and we didn't have no cover over it in the wood. And I remember it was my turn to do it for the week to put wood in there, and you had to do it twice a day. And so I remember taking my shower and getting in bed, and I laid back, and I was tired and laid back and head hit the pillow. And those few minutes of meditation, you hope for, you fall asleep, and my eyes pop open. I forgot to put wood in the fire. I got to get up and drive a mile and a half down the road and go through the snow and give up my clothes on and all that. And I could have been grumpy, but I determined something. I'm going to do this for Jesus. And you know what I did? I happily got up saying, Lord, I'm so glad that I can do something for you. I ain't much I can do for the Lord, but he died for me, and I think putting a little bit of wood in the stove. And you know, instead of going down there and sludging through the snow with an attitude and grabbing a few pieces of wet wood and throwing them in the stove enough to do it, you know what I did? I went down there and meticulously knocked the snow off the wood, and I stacked it so pretty in there, I raked it, put it in. Because I was doing this with Jesus, and I had the victory, and I put it all in there and closed it up and went back to the house singing in my song. Amen. It's our choice.
Yes,
we do. I was faced with a choice. What? How do you want the choice? He said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We're going to serve the one that's done so much for us. I'm going to serve the one that gives me the strength to face everything that I'm going to have to face in life. We live in a peculiar time. We live in a time that our economic system could crash easily. We could have such a disruption in this country that it would be hard to get the normal things that we're used to. We could have a total change. I ain't predicting anything. I'm just saying there's still a God. Thank the Lord. If he feeds the sparrows, he loves you more than the sparrows. He clothes the lilies, and not even Solomon was raised better. God's made promises to us. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the God that's done such a good job. and done so much for me. As for the other gods that I've had in my life and played with in my life, all of those other things that I tried to chase to make happy, they was a fraud. They never did make me happy. It was a fraud. It never worked. And Jesus has always been the one there. Answered our prayer so many times. Yes. Done such a good job. One other scripture in closing I want to look at. It's in familiar scriptures in 6th chapter of John. 667 of John. Position here where the Lord said a saying that was hard for hard to hear. He had told them, unless they eat his flesh and drink his blood. And they said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear such a thing as that? He went on with the language, but in the process of this, many of his disciples walked no more with him. Isn't that something? Why? Something was hard. 66 says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. When Jesus, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Look right at him. All these other ones did. You going to go away too? What did they lack? Many of his disciples, many that was listening to him, run up against something that caused them to make a choice. Folks, we're going to run up against things. We're going to have days to where we're going to have the determination, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That come up against this place. There was a place in the scripture where a scribe came to the Lord and said, Master, I will follow you whithersoever you go. Jesus said, the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. I like that scripture because it ends there. It leaves it to your thoughts. It doesn't say what else. The given to me is, this is the guy probably said, that's not what I was talking about. That's not exactly what I meant. I was thinking more about that turning all that bread into feeding 5,000. I'm talking about them fish that you expanded out. I'm thinking more of you being able to overthrow the Romans. I wasn't really thinking about me being in that situation. I will follow you to that place. As for me and my house, I want to serve the Lord. Lord, lead us in the path that's right for us. Many of the disciples, but he says to the 12, will you go away? Also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So it doesn't matter what's allowed to come into my life, Lord, you know. But as I look for the ultimate future of my existence, beyond this realm, beyond this flesh, he's the only one. Yes. There's no one else that can speak this. This was recognized by Peter here at this time. It doesn't matter what else you say or what we run into. Lord, you have the words of eternal life. You're the only one that can teach us this way and really get it to us. You're the only one. And God created the whole universe and got all of it in his hand and compact the whole thing down. How do I understand God and all that he is? God creator. There's a message. I read it in a book of messages of John Wesley. John Wesley preached the message, and I got so much understanding from this one message, this one thought that he had. And the title of his message was Salvation Greater Than the Garden. And in this, he preached the message that Adam and Eve knew God as God creator, but only God creator. The love that they had only was for a creating God. This is the one that made me. But we know him as God redeemer. Amen. It is a deeper place of love. I, because of the situation that I was in, they was only in a situation to where they was in a place to where he had created them.
Right.
And so he was the God of their creation. But we're in sin. We're lost.
Right.
If he doesn't do something for us, we're lost. I need a Savior. I need somebody to help me. We can know him in our hearts as the one that redeemed us.
Amen.
I was lost and headed for the devil's hell. And Jesus come, not only, he paid my sin's price.
Yes.
That's more than being created.
Yes.
It's a deeper love. And so when they spoke of the Father, show us the Father. Jesus epitomized it. This was the real love of God. This is how much he cared for Adam and Eve too. This is how much he cared for Ahab and Jonah and Saul. This was how much. A redeeming love. A love to die for. He died for us. He took our guilt, our sin, upon himself. And when he said, show us the Father, he said, have I been with you so long and you've not seen the Father? You should see, I am the Father. This is God's love. This is what he's brought to you. This is the choice that makes the condemnation of not choosing it so bad. He died for you. That's what makes it so. Spurning this is called a great salvation. When you turn this down, you turn the ultimate. Is there a story anywhere at any time that can be told with the same kind of authority and power as the death of Christ on the cross for the redemption of man's souls? There isn't a love story. There isn't a place anywhere that can depict a greater love than that love shown. This is what Jesus came to do. This is what he still goes today. And he says, I would gather you as a hen. This is the love that we have for you. Choose God. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're not. I know many have went away. Some, the 91st Psalm, I think it is, that talks about under his wings. And you go on and read that, and it says, you know, 1,000 to the side, 10,000. But it's not going to happen to me. Only with my eyes shall I see it. I'm not going to have the feelings of it. I'm not going to I see others falling. I can understand that. But as for me, I'm going to write whatever it takes. Amen. I want to serve the Lord. The end of this, every one of us already know. We already know. Our time's limited. We have been set here for a time and space. And we are given the wonderful chance at life. Thank God. I appreciate God giving me life so much. Yes. I would have to say in all my life, I have so many memories of childhood and of things like that that didn't have anything to do with God but of his creation and right on. And to be redeemed and saved and have a clear mind of that and to have lived the 60 years I have and to have known the saints and the families and the things of this. And I'll just tell you about your chapel. It's wonderful. I enjoy staying there. It's been a blessing to me. And I thought as soon as I went in there, thank the Lord. For years I've traveled around in different places and I've always said, there's a scripture that I take personally. He said, if that you forsake fathers and mothers and you forsake lands and your own life and you forsake all these things, that you'll get 100-fold in this life and life everlasting. And I always thought what a wonderful thing it is that you all built me another place to stay. I appreciate it. I have another place that is open to me. I can go. It's God's, and he lets me use it. I don't pay a penny tax on it. I didn't put a shingle on the roof. It was like he promised them the land of Canaan. He said, I'll give you cities that you didn't build and vineyards that you didn't plant. And he gave me a land of Canaan. I can drive around and stay in a brand new place that I had nothing to do with. It's a part of the 100-fold. And I'm glad for the life I live. But I want to tell you the choice has been worth it. But one of these days I'm going to step out of these earthly tabernacle and these made of stone buildings and these things into a more glorious place. And thank God for it. Thank God that he's willing in all of his creation that he made me. It allowed me to live this, and I want to pay him all the homage I can. And I definitely don't want to turn down the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind, Jesus dying on the cross. It looked gruesome and ugly, but it is eternal salvation to my never dying soul. And I'm so grateful for it that I can testify to you tonight. Choose it with all your heart. Choose the way of the eternal God, and he'll bless you, I assure you. It'll change your life. You pray for me.